Father, we know that you're in this place right now. It's called Angel Stadium, and indeed there are angels all around us, but there are fallen angels as well. There is a devil that hates us just as surely as there is a God who loves us. I know that there is a battle for the souls of men and women that is taking place tonight. And we pray that as the gospel is proclaimed, that it will impact hearts, and that we will see young people, old people, men and women have their eternal destiny changed tonight. So work in our midst. We commit this night to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, sooner or later, every thinking person gets around to asking the big questions in life, such as, why am I here? What is the meaning of my life? What's going to happen to me after I die? And who let the dogs out? No, not so much that last one. But seriously, we think about these things. As you saw in that little Roland video that tells a little bit of my life story, I started asking these questions early in life because of the way that I was raised. I had to grow up fast, being raised in an alcoholic home of so many divorces. And I went through the drug route and I went through the partying route, and I looked at the adult world that I was exposed to, and I thought, well, the answer isn't there. Where could it be? And it got me searching. And some of you who have come here tonight are searching. And I want to tell you, you've come to the right place, because we have answers from the user's manual of life, the Bible, for you tonight. The very word says it all, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is the missing manual you've all been looking for. I heard the story about a drunk guy that was down on his hands and knees looking for something. Police officer noticed, walked up to him and said, sir, did you lose something? And the drunk guy said, yes, I did. That's my imitation of a drunk person. Did you lose it here, sir? The police officer asked. No, I lost it over there. And the officer said, well, why aren't you looking over there? And he said, well, there's no light there. That just completely died. That was like the ultimate bomb joke of all time. That was a joke and you missed the punchline. I forgot to tell you he was looking in the dark. Never mind. Okay, he was looking under a streetlight. That's the part I left out. This is why I gave up my career in stand-up comedy. But seriously, it doesn't do you any good to look for something if you look in the wrong place. And this is the right place. Now listen, sometimes the way that we discover what is right is by figuring out first what is wrong. Before I became a believer in Jesus, it was like a process of elimination. Okay, the answer's not here, and it's not over there. At the ripe age of 32, comedian Dave Chappelle had his dream. The ink on the contract was hardly dry when Chappelle mysteriously disappeared, and he eventually surfaced 8,000 miles away in South Africa. Chappelle literally walked away from the third season of his TV show and gave up millions of dollars. When they finally tracked him down, they said, why did you leave? What happened? And he said, I discovered the higher up I go, for some reason, the less happy I am. People look for happiness in a lot of different places. Some might think, oh, if only I were handsome or beautiful, I know then I would be happy. But that can't be true when we look at so many people who are disillusioned. I read recently about two supermodels, one a man, one a woman, who are at the top of their profession, doing magazine spreads for the great designers out there like Hugo Boss, Burberry, Louis Vuitton, and others. And yet, ironically, these two supermodels in different parts of the world both committed suicide on the same day because they felt like they just couldn't go on any longer in life. Speaking of designers, Alexander McQueen, a well-known designer, committed suicide as well. He killed himself with a legal dose of cocaine and sleeping pills. He actually hung himself using his favorite leather belt. And ironically, he wrote a suicide note on the back of the book, The Descent of Man. And his letter ended with, please look after my dogs. He said of his dogs, quote, my dogs are the only thing in the world I really trust. They're loyal and their love is unconditional, end quote. I wish I could have told Alexander McQueen that the love of God is unconditional, not the love of a dog. And that life is worth living. Maybe some of you here tonight have contemplated suicide. Maybe you've gotten very close. I remember hearing the story of a man who was ready to blow his brains out. He had a gun up to his head, and he just picked up a television remote control and started flipping channels, and he came across one of our Harvest Crusades and heard the gospel for the first time and set his gun down and got on his knees and prayed and asked God to forgive him, and his life was changed. God can change your life tonight as well. Some might think, well, if I had more possessions, then I would be happy. There was an article put up by Time Magazine with the title, The Truth About Money. And they said, clinical depression is 3 to 10 times as common today more than 2 generations ago. Money jingles in our wallets and purses like never before, but we're no happier for it. In fact, they concluded, more money leads to depression. Well, the Bible told us that. Proverbs 27 says, hell and destruction are never full, and so is the heart of man never satisfied. Author Jack Higgins is one of the most successful authors on earth. His thriller novels have sold more than 250 million copies in 60 languages. When he was asked by an interviewer what he knew now that he wished he had known earlier in life, the accomplished author responded, quote, I wish I had known when you get to the top, there's nothing there, end quote. Have you discovered that yet? Years ago, one of the wealthiest men who ever lived, King Solomon, came to this conclusion when he said in Ecclesiastes 1:8, all things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never gets enough of seeing. The ear never gets enough of hearing. You know, we want to always get the latest technology, the biggest projection screen. Now, a long time ago, we used to have little TV sets with rabbit ears on them and 3 channels to choose from. I'm old enough to remember when color television came out. And then they came up with these newfangled devices called rear projection. And that was the cutting edge technology. Then this amazing device called a VCR machine. And you could actually record programs. I had one and I never could get it to stop blinking 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock. But then they came out with flat panels and plasmas. And then they kept getting bigger and bigger and cheaper and cheaper. I read recently the largest flat panel you can buy now is 152 inches. You have to sit 3 blocks away to watch television. The eye never sees enough. The ear never hears enough. Some think, oh, relationships will bring personal happiness. Listen, people are going to let you down. Your parents will let you down. Your children will let you down. Your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, they'll all disappoint. Even a romantic relationship isn't going to do it. Hugh Hefner has all the money and power and woman a person could want, I suppose. Someone asked him once, what's missing in your life? Hefner responded, I want the words of the songs to be true. I guess deep down inside, the old hedonist Hugh Hefner is a romantic at heart. Maybe it would help if he would get out of his pajamas once in a while. Some might think that pursuing pleasure will bring personal happiness. I'll tell you how not to be happy, and that is by pursuing pleasure. The Bible even says, she that lives for pleasure is dead while she is living. Fact of the matter is, living for pleasure is one of the most unpleasurable things that a person can do. It's been said that the best cure for hedonism is an attempt to practice it. I read an article the other day about Freddie Mercury, who was the lead singer of the band Queen. In the Olympics that just happened in England, they had a giant projected image of Mercury singing and speaking to the crowd he was appearing before when the video was made, but yet all these years later now, this giant arena filled with people was doing everything that Mercury told them to do. Problem is, he's been dead for 21 years. But this is a man that lived his life pursuing pleasure. A friend of Mercury's, Elton John, said that he was the only person who could out-party him, calling his appetites unquenchable. Mercury was quoted as saying, "Excess is a part of my nature. To me, dullness is a disease. I need danger and excitement. Straight people bore me stiff," said Mercury. "I love freaky people." He didn't deny himself anything materially and sexually, but it didn't turn out well for him, and it never does. He realized in his attempt to become a star, he had created a monster. Mercury said, and I quote, "The monster is me. Success, fame, money, sex, drugs, whatever you want, I can have it. But I'm beginning to see as much as I created it, I want to escape from it. I'm starting to worry I can't control it as much as it controls me," end quote. As you know, he died of complications due to AIDS, in 1991 at age 45. Speaking of Elton John, his longtime guitarist just committed suicide, as did the very talented director Tony Scott, who directed Top Gun and Man on Fire and many other films. What brings a person to this point of despondency where they take their own life chasing after the things that this world promises? And so many of these people have what many of us would only dream about. And what they're trying to say to us is that's not where it's at, and it never will be. Listen, what you're looking for deep down inside is a relationship with God. You were created to know Him. And I want to tell you how tonight. I'm going to read you a story from the Bible. It's Matthew 19. Did any of you bring your Bibles with you tonight? If you did, hold it up. I'd like to see if you brought your Bible. I like to see Bibles. Now, I know a lot of you have your Bibles on your smartphone, so that works too. Well, if you brought your Bible, you might want to turn over to Matthew 19. I'm going to tell you a story about a rich young guy who had everything one could want in life, who came to Jesus looking for answers. And you know what? The answers Jesus gave to him are the same answers he gives to us today. It's Matthew 19. And we read, someone came to Jesus with this question. "Teacher, what good things must I do to have eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "Only God is good. But to answer your question, you can have eternal life if you keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." "All these commandments I've kept ever since I've been a young boy," the man responded. "What else do I need to do?" Jesus said, "Why don't you go sell all that you have and give the money to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And the man went sadly away because he had many possessions. Another gospel identifies this young guy as the rich young ruler. To be a ruler back in these days, you had to be at least 30. And yet he was in a powerful position, so he was probably in his early 30s. He came cruising up to Jesus in his BMW chariot, looking very cool, designer robes on. And he encounters Christ and begins to talk to him. But there was something missing in his life. And Jesus says, "You know what? Why don't you try keeping the commandments?" And the guy says, "Well, which ones?" And then Jesus gives him a few to keep. You know, a lot of people will say today, "You know, I don't really need Jesus Christ. I live by the Ten Commandments. Yes, sir, that's my religion." Really? Can you name the Ten Commandments? "No, I can't, but I live by them anyway." Right? A recent poll was done and it revealed more Americans know the names of the four Beatles than of any of the Ten Commandments. That's no problem. John Paul, George, Ringo. Let's see. "Thou shalt not..." How can you live by something you don't even know? The commandments, what do they say? Well, they tell us what's wrong in our life. They tell us what things can separate us from God. Jesus said, starting off with, you shall not murder. Now, most of us in this place have not committed murder. At least I hope not. But listen to this. Even if you had, if you asked God to forgive you, he would. There's a man in the Bible who was known as Saul. He was a murderer. In fact, he was a murderer of Christians. He hunted them down and killed them in cold blood, even tortured them. Saul was the man responsible for the death of the first martyr of the church, a young guy named Stephen. But one day, Saul, who went out of his way to make life miserable for followers of Jesus, met the risen living Lord on the road to Damascus. And his life was transformed. In fact, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. We know him today as the Apostle Paul. A man who had been motivated by hate was changed and then was motivated by love. God can change a person. But it's interesting how Saul went out to try to hurt Christians, to stop Christians. Maybe that's how you feel. Maybe you think Christians are a bunch of losers and you think they're a bunch of idiots and they're all lame. And you're so ultra cool, and you like to make fun of Christians. You know, I used to be that way. When I was in high school, we had a lot of outspoken Christians on our campus over here at Newport Harbor High. And some of my Christian, or my non-Christian friends, wasn't a Christian at the time, said, Greg, whatever you do, don't get around the Christians. And I said to them, you think that I, Greg Laurie, would ever become a Jesus freak? Are you joking? Famous last words. I went to one of their meetings. The last thing I intended on doing that day was becoming a believer in Jesus. But I sat down near their little group that was gathered on the front lawn of our high school campus, close enough to sort of eavesdrop on their conversation, but far enough away where no one would think that I was actually joining up with them, because, of course, that's like social suicide in high school, right? So I listened in a little bit, and I started looking around at those Christians. I saw them singing their little songs about God, and I thought to myself, what a bunch of idiots. Look at the stupid smiles on their face, their little joy. Too bad they can't be cynical and angry like me. And then I tried a thought on for size. I thought, what if the Christians are right? What if God can be known? What if Jesus is real? Of course, that's not possible, I thought. There's no way, but what if? And then someone got up and gave a message, and I don't remember most of it. I remember one statement where he said, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And I looked around at those Christians, and I said, well, I'm not one of them. Does that mean I'm against God? And for the first time, I realized there was a God who loved me, and I became a believer that day. And I hope that you become a believer today, tonight, in Jesus Christ. Now, when the Bible says you shall not murder, you're thinking, psh, no problem there. I've never murdered anybody. Listen to this. Jesus says hating is like murder. In Matthew 5:21, he said, you've heard that it's been said long ago, don't murder. And if you murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you're angry with your brother, you're subject to judgment. Have you ever been so angry with someone and hated them so much that you wanted to kill them? Let me restate the question. Have you ever driven on the freeway in Southern California? See, hating is a sin that can separate you from God. Jesus told the young man, you shall not commit adultery. You say, well, what's adultery? Is that only for adults? No, it's for anybody. Adultery is if you're married when you're unfaithful to your spouse. If you're unmarried, it's having sex before marriage. The Bible says that's a sin. Heard a story about a little kid that was in Sunday school, and the teacher was talking about this commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. He got a little confused. On his way home, he asked his dad, Daddy, what does it mean when the Bible says, thou shalt not commit agriculture? Without missing a beat, the father wisely responded, son, that just means that you're not supposed to plow the other man's field. Not a bad answer. You say, but Greg, come on now. relax a little bit. As long as it's between two consenting adults, it's okay. And by the way, we're having safe sex. Listen, you don't need safe sex. You need to save sex until you're married and commit yourself to a person. That's right. Well, you might say, well, I've never committed adultery. Have you ever lusted after a man or a woman? Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, it's like committing adultery with her. A big trend today, especially among kids, is something called sexting. There's texting and there's sexting, where you send photos of yourself. More than a quarter of high schoolers surveyed, 28% had sent a naked photo of themselves, and 57% had been asked to send one. And there's a correlation between those who sext and have sexual activity. 56% of female teens who sent a text had one or more sex partners in the last year. Then there's the pornography industry that rakes in $15 billion a year. One out of every three 13 to 14-year-olds in America are heavy porn users. You might say, oh man, that's awesome. That's not awesome. It's sinful. And here's what the Bible says, that God will judge people who are immoral and commit adultery. Have you committed this sin? Then Jesus went on to say, you shall not steal. Have you ever stolen? It's a lot of stealing today. A lot of temptations to steal. Like when you're in the market and they give you too much change and you keep it. Thank you, Lord. No. Give it back. It's not yours. You take those office supplies home for personal use. You take the help from the government you don't really need. You don't pay for your software, pirated DVDs, etc. Look, we've all broken these commandments. Jesus says, don't lie, don't steal, honor your father and mother. This guy says, Lord, I've kept all of these from my youth up. Another gospel tells us, as soon as he said that, Jesus looked at him and loved him. I find that amazing. It would have made more sense if we would have read, and when he said that, Jesus looked at him and smacked him across the face. What you talking about, Willis? What's wrong with you? But Jesus didn't do that. He loved the guy. You know what that says to me? That even when we're sinful, God loves us. Do you know that God loves you? No matter what you've done, God loves you. Oh, you say, that's right. I love that. It's true. Tomorrow night, I want to talk about the most well-known verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16, that says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's true that God loves you, but God loves you and wants to change you. Jesus told what we call the parable of the prodigal son. And I'll be talking about that Sunday night in LA on September 9th. But it's one of the best known stories in the Bible of a man who has two sons, and the younger son, loose paraphrase, says, Dad, I'm sick of your lame rules and regulations. I'm tired of waiting for you to die. I want my portion of the inheritance now, so give it to me. And the father gave the boy what he asked for. And that kid left, blew all of his money, ended up at rock bottom, and one day came to his senses and said, you know what? Even the guys that just work for my dad have it better than I have it right now. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to say, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just hire me. Give me a job somewhere, a roof over my head. And Jesus, who told the story, said, well, the boy was still a great ways off. The father saw him, ran to him, threw his arms around him, kissed him over and over again, and welcomed him home again and said, this my son who is dead is alive again. And that's how God feels toward you. If you will admit your sin and turn to him, he'll throw his arms around you and forgive you tonight. But guess what? After he hugged them, he said, now go give this kid a bath. Because he'd been hanging out with pigs, which would be pretty bad. So God says, I love you, I accept you. Now I'm going to change you, you see? So Jesus looked at the rich young ruler after he made these arrogant statements, and he loved him. Why did Jesus tell this man to follow the commandments? He told him about the commandments to help the young man understand he could not keep the commandments. It's like taking a look in the mirror and not liking what you see. If you have a mirror anywhere near yourself when you get up in the morning, it's like shock therapy when you walk by and you go, ah! You know, no one looks good in the morning except my wife. But you know, it's the mirror reveals the truth. That's what the commandments do. See, I walk up to the Ten Commandments and I realize that I fall short. Every one of us have broken one of the commandments. Some of us have broken many of the commandments. And there's even a few that have broken all of the commandments. But listen to this. If you've offended in one point of the law, the Bible says, you're guilty of all of it. So all of us have sinned. That's why Jesus told him the commandments. So he would realize he needed help. The guy says, I've obeyed all of them. What do I need to do now? Jesus wanted to show this guy wasn't telling the truth. He said, I'll tell you what, buddy. Why don't you take all your stuff and sell it and give the money to the poor and come follow me? Now, you know, Jesus never said that to anybody else. Why did he say that? Because it's necessary to give up everything that you own to get right with God? No, he said it to this guy because he was possessed by his possessions. For this young man, his God was stuff. What's your God? Everybody has a God, even the atheist. They have some altar they bow before. Some worship themselves. Some worship things. Some worship pleasure, some worship accomplishments, but everyone bows at some altar. This guy was so hung up on his things, and Jesus wanted to expose it. Give it up and follow me. I think it's possible if he would have said, I'll give it up, Jesus would have said, oh, I don't care, you can keep it. And what are you being held back by tonight? Maybe your stuff's holding you back. Maybe your lifestyle's holding you back. Maybe a relationship with someone is holding you back. You might be thinking, man, I would like to become a Christian, but if I gave my life to Jesus Christ, what would my friend sitting next to me think? Your friend sitting next to you is thinking, I'd like to become a Christian. Well, what would my friend sitting next to me think? Listen. Quit worrying about what your friend thinks. What does God think? One day you're going to stand before God. You won't be there with your friends. You won't even be there with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife. You'll be there all alone. And the question God will ask you is, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? You had an opportunity to get right with me. I hope you won't waste this opportunity. Yeah, it's true. That young man didn't want to let things go. So we read that he went away sadly. I can't do that, man. The Bible tells another story about a rich man. He too was searching for truth. He's identified as the treasurer of the Queen of Ethiopia. He was like a VIP. He probably had a whole fleet of chariots with Secret Service guys running next to him, you know, the flags of his country. He came to Jerusalem looking for God and didn't find him. But he got a copy of the scripture. He was reading out loud from the book of Isaiah, a passage that describes the death of Jesus Christ, but he didn't know what it meant. And as he was cruising along, reading out loud from the Bible, a guy named Philip, who was a believer, saw him and said, excuse me, sir, but do you understand what you're reading? And the man from Ethiopia said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And Philip pointed out what that scripture meant and told him how to believe in Jesus. And right there on the spot, that man believed, and he was baptized. And the Bible says he went on his way rejoicing. So here we have a contrast. Two men of affluence, two men of power. Both came and heard the gospel. One went away mad. The other went away sad. Excuse me, one went away glad. The other went away sad. And you know, you're going to leave here tonight in a few moments. And some are going to go away glad because you either believe in Jesus or you've put your faith in him tonight. But some of you are going to go away sad because you didn't want to give up anything to follow God. Some of you will even go away mad. But I'm telling you, if you come to Jesus, whatever you have to give up, he'll more than make it up to you. He'll give you so much more in its place. I read the story of a wealthy man who had a passion for collecting art along with his son. They had priceless works of art adorning the walls of their massive estate. One day their nation went to war and the young boy was called to serve his country in the military. A few weeks later, the father received the tragic news that his son had been killed in the line of duty. He had died, saving another man's life. The Christmas holidays came around. The wealthy old father was heartbroken. The joy of the season vanished with the loss of his son. And on Christmas morning, the depressed old man heard a knock at the door. He opened it, and there stood a soldier with a large package in his hands. He said to the father, "I was a friend of your son. In fact, I was the one he was rescuing when he died. Can I come in for a few moments? I have something I want to show you." So the old man invited the soldier in, and the young soldier opened up this package, and it was a big painting. It was a painting he had done of this man's son. Though it was not the work of a great artist, his painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the father took the painting and pushed aside artwork worth millions of dollars to the side and placed that painting of his son over his fireplace. It became his most prized possession. 6 months later, the old man died. And the announcement was sent out that all of the art was going to be auctioned off on Christmas Day, the day he had received the greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams were going to be fulfilled that day. The auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's museum list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room fell silent. "Who will open the bidding?" "With $100, the auctioneer asked. No one spoke. Finally, someone said, "Who cares about that painting? It's a picture of the son of this man. Let's move on to the other stuff." "No," the auctioneer said. "I've been directed that we must sell this painting first. Now, who will take the son?" Well, there was a neighbor of the old man who knew the boy. He offered $50. He says, "I knew the boy. I'd like to have it." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone." The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room. "Now we can get to the real treasures." The auctioneer looked at the room filled with people ready to bid on millions of dollars worth of artwork, and he said, "The auction's over." Everyone was stunned. Someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over?" And the auctioneer said, "Oh, it's very simple. According to the will of the father, whoever takes the son gets it all." The same is true for you. Maybe you've come here tonight searching for the meaning of life. You're not going to find it in things. You're not going to find it in pleasures. You're not going to find it in accomplishments. You're not even going to find it in religion. The rich young ruler was a religious man. You need Jesus Christ. And you know what? Whoever takes the Son gets it all. You get it all. How do you find personal happiness? Answer: not by seeking it, but by seeking Him. When you put God first in your life and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will find the elusive happiness you have sought, because the Bible says, "Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." God loves you. God wants to forgive you. God wants you to join Him one day in heaven. God doesn't want you to face judgment because of the sin you have committed. See, I said, well, Greg, what do I need to do? How do I come into this relationship with God? If you haven't heard anything else I've said, hear me now. Number one, you must admit you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Stop making excuses. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. What is sin? Sin means to cross a line. The Bible speaks of trespass and sin. You've seen the signs in the parks No trespassing. When you crossed that line, you committed a sin. When you broke that commandment, you committed a sin. When you did that which was wrong, you committed a sin. But the word sin also can be defined as missing the mark. God has set a very high standard for humanity, absolute perfection. You say, well, who can be perfect? Do you think you're perfect? No. That's where Jesus comes in. I'm not perfect. I fall short. But Jesus Christ came to the cross and died on my place and took God's judgment upon himself. He absorbed the wrath of God in my place. Jesus came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. So you're a sinner. Understand that. Realize Jesus died on the cross for you. And then you need to repent of your sin. You say, repent? I haven't even repented yet. Why should I repent? What does it mean to repent? It means to change your direction. So you've been going away from God. Now it's time to turn around and go toward God and put your faith in Christ. And then you must receive Jesus Christ into your life. Being a Christian is not just living by a creed. It's not just going to church on Sunday. It's not just reading the Bible. It's having Christ himself come and live inside of you. The Bible says, for as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. You need to receive Christ into your life as your Savior and Lord. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Look, Jesus wants to come in your life, but check this out. He won't force his way in. If you don't want him to come into your life, he won't come. If you don't want to go to heaven when you die, you don't have to. If you actually want to spend all eternity separated from God in hell, that's your decision. Now you might be saying, well, Greg, I was with you till you said hell. Sorry, but that's in the Bible too. Why would a God of love create a place like hell? God didn't create hell for people. God created hell for the devil and his angels. God wants you to join him in heaven. If any man or woman ends up in hell, it's because of many choices they made to say no to Jesus Christ. You have to practically climb over Christ to get in, but if you're bound and determined, you can go to hell or you can go to heaven by turning from your sin and putting your faith in Christ. And then you must do it publicly. That's why I'm going to ask you in a few moments to do what thousands of people have done over the last 23 years here at Angel Stadium and in other places where we've been. I'm going to ask you in a few moments to get up out of your seat and come down to this field and stand behind this platform. And when you all get here, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Now, why would I ask you to come down in this field? Because everyone that Jesus calls, he calls openly and publicly. And Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father and the angels in heaven. But then he added, if you deny me before people, I'll deny you before the Father and the angels. This is a way to say openly that you believe in Jesus. Coming down in this field doesn't make you a Christian. But it's a way to publicly say, I want to know God tonight. And I don't care who sees or who knows. And you can do that and he will change your life. And lastly, you must do it now. You must do it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Listen, the devil will whisper in your ear, tomorrow, later, manana, not now. And the Holy Spirit says now, today, tonight, this moment, come to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. You know, deep down inside, this is what you want, but God won't force you to do it. He's given you a free will. You can say yes or no. Let me just say this in closing. I told you that message I heard when I was just a kid in high school. The day I went and accepted Christ. It's when I heard it said, Jesus saying, you're either for me or against me. This is an either or proposition, a yes or no decision. You can't say, well, I'm neutral on this. Can't be neutral. You either say yes to Jesus or you say no to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to make your decision as we pray together. And then I'm going to invite you to come to Christ. And I'm going to invite some of you who have fallen away from the Lord, like the prodigal son, to come back to Christ. I'm going to ask some of you that know what's right as a Christian, but you've been breaking some of the commandments we've talked about tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn from that sin and make a recommitment to Christ if you need to. So we're going to pray. And then you make your decision. Let's all pray together. Now, Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in our place. And now I pray for every person here, every person watching, every person listening. Help them to see their need for Jesus Christ. Help them to see eternity is close and life is short. Help them, Lord, to come to you and receive your forgiveness. We ask all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen.